I just wanted to remind all participants that the conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect. For assistance, press star zero.
Thank you, Julie. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the NCSG call on Tuesday, 25th, February, 2014. On the call today, we have Amir El-Sadar, D.D. Hollaback, Enrico Godfried Amula, George Restapro, Kathy Kleiman, Klaus Stahl, Magali Maria Farrell, Malia Mathieu, and Rudy Vasnik, as well as Sanju Ikipi. For staff today, we have Natalie Peregrin, Harry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Over to you.
Thank you, Trini. Thanks for everybody to join us today. I see really many new names, so maybe new faces. So welcome. So just to give the context, we have a monthly call just 2 or 3 days before the GNSO Council call in order for us to cover the agenda item of the GNSO Council, but also to discuss about any other policy matters and to prepare for next action. So this is an opportunity for all members to be aware about ongoing policy activities within the GNSO Council. And hopefully our council can brief us and give us more updates. So the agenda is, as usual, is following, starting with the GNSO own agenda. This time we don't have any motion, which is quite rare. So it's basically more discussion, and then we can go several items and maybe giving some guidance to our counselor, and then we go to update on ICANN working groups, and also if there is any public statement that we need to make soon, and to have some volunteers for that, and any other business which is kind of to cover any. Not necessarily any policy-related issue, but like for this time, to prepare for a Singapore meeting. So if you have any requests or suggestions, please do so. Otherwise, we can start with the first item of the agenda. Okay? Moving on. So, Terry, can you please share the GNSO Council agenda?
Yes, 1 moment, please.
Thank you.
It'll be 1 moment longer. Apologize for the delay. That isn't it, is it?
It's not this one.
A moment longer, I apologize. There you go.
Thank you. Okay, so yeah, thanks, Terry. So starting with the first item, it's about it's unusual, but starting with international internet governance issues. So then, and my understanding that you can get update from Sally Costerton. I'm not sure about the title, the vice president for stakeholder engagement, something like that. But if any of our councilmen can give us more, a briefing, what this item will about and what are the expectations. Or otherwise, I will volunteer some of our councillors. So it's better that you do it by yourself.
Rafiq, it's Maria here. I can just say a couple of words about it.
Okay. Thanks, Maria. Please go ahead.
Okay, sure. This is Maria Farrell speaking. I'm one of the councillors. So this is the item on the GNSO council call is a discussion of internet governance. There's no, as Rafiq says, there's no nothing to vote about. And it is basically coming to the GNSO council just because obviously a lot has been happening on internet governance, and ICANN staff and executive have been taking some decisions with the board over the last month or so, and so I think they're coming back to us to talk to us about that. I would say on the GNSO council list there is a certain amount of disquiet or unhappiness with the staff taking relatively kind of executive roles where they may not have a full mandate, and the board indeed last week the board voted to look at setting up what they call a parallel legal structure outside of the US in other countries, probably in Geneva, and so some people, particularly the business and the US business people, are worried about that. I think maybe other councillors have some, and people have opinions on this. Personally, I support that policy, but I'm concerned, and I think quite a few people are concerned, that it is a lot of top-down decision-making, and there's not really any kind of multi-stakeholder involvement or broad consultation with the community on these things. So I think I expect that when Sally Costerton comes to talk to the GNSO Council on Thursday, that she's going to get a bit of a hard time from councillors about the fact that a lot of things are happening that are being driven by the executive and by the board. But I think the people who are feeling most strongly about that are the business constituency, and they are concerned because they basically don't like a lot of this internationalization, globalization stuff. So that's kind of, I think that's what's going on with that one. Maybe somebody else has something to add.
Thank you, Maria. Please, if someone is, if you are not speaking, please mute yourself. So I think we have several panels, the strategic panels, that high-level panels, and now those global advisory groups. So a lot of, as you said, top-down approach. And I don't think we are against the globalization in principle, but the problem, it's I don't think we agree on the manner, and it's quite bypassing the community in that sense. So we may be in the same page, not the same page, we may have some common area with the business constituency here, but I don't think we share the same goal. I don't think we are really trying to keep the status quo, but we want the globalization, but not in this manner that it's the community is left outside. I see that Amber is talking about outsourcing. I guess you are taking this from the multi-stakeholder innovation thing. It was expressing my thoughts here, but I think it's good to hear others what they think, and in particular for the globalization, something that's quite interests many of our membership.
Hey, Rafiq, it's Maria again. Can I say something else and ask a question?
Yes.
Great, thank you. So Amr just brought up in the chat the fact that there is the what do they call themselves? The Commercial Stakeholders Group have suggested what they call a crowdsourced feedback mechanism on the ICANN CEO and the executives. And it's basically they want to, it's a slightly tongue-in-cheek, so slightly not serious mechanism for expressing their unhappiness with the CEO and the globalization stuff. And so they suggested it to the council, and they're getting a bit, fair bit of positive response for it. So I wonder, what do our people think? Because, you know, like you say, we kind of tend to agree with the general direction of globalization, but we're not thrilled about the CEO sort of taking executive actions without consulting us. So, you know, we kind of think it could be a good idea to do this crowdsourced feedback mechanism, but on the other hand, it could really turn into something that is just not just against the CEO taking top-down decisions, but also against globalization. So we've kind of raised that with the council and said, look, you guys didn't mind him taking top-down decisions when you liked the decisions last year on another issue, and now it's a problem for you. So, so you know, tell us why we should support you. So I would really love, because we're going to discuss this on Thursday on the council, so I would love to hear what people think. So Marilia has just put up a question. Can you explain the mechanism? Honestly, I can't, Marilia, because it's just it's something that one person has written in an email to the council saying they want some form of crowdsourcing, and that's it. That's as much detail as we have. So, you know, there's the problem that it could really easily be gamed and, you know, astroturfed, and that people could send, just get lots of people to write sort of, you know, not very thoughtful responses saying, we don't like it, we don't like it, and just get loads of people who are not involved to do that, and then it looks like it's a lot worse than it is. So anyway, so that's so I don't want to go on talking too much about it, but I would love to you know, if other people have views, to hear them, so that we can say something sensible when this comes up on Thursday.
Thanks, Maria. I think crowdsource is good, but also it allows astroturfing. Yeah, I think that's the word. And about the CEO, I think one of the problem, last week he was in France, and I followed what he was saying in media and radio and several online and also newspaper. He was talking about globalization and so on, and, you know, taking a lot of position without, even before that, the community itself to be consulted. And about the globalization, this global advisory group, it was decided last week, but there was not enough time even for us to understand what the meaning. And even the setting is strange, because it's the groups is composed by board members to advise themselves how to do for globalization, and the CEO had the right to change the composition of those work those groups anytime without consulting the board itself. So it's quite unusual, and this is in the kind of continuity of what's happening with the strategic panel and so on. So we have a lot of concern. We want the globalization, but I don't think in such manner. I'm sorry, I'm speaking a lot, and we have long queue now. So we start with Amar, and then Kathy and Marilia. Amar, please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafiq. This is Amar. I just wanted to say that, in principle, I have no problem with the idea of crowdsourcing ideas and thoughts. But Marilia raised a pretty important question in the chat, which is explaining the mechanism. It's right now, this is just an idea that's being floated around the council list, and I think it's got more. It's more than just the globalization of ICANN. I think it's also, it has a lot to do with what's going on with the strategy panels as well. The thing is, I'm not sure if the GNSO Council, and someone could correct me if I'm mistaken, but I'm not sure if the GNSO Council is the right place to start this initiative. The GNSO Council is responsible for managing the GNSO's PDP. And this, I feel, falls outside of the PDP. It's got nothing to do with the PDP, and it seems like the folks on council who have a lot to complain about regarding Fadi and ICANN staff and what they're doing on these different fronts. It seems like they just pretty much want to do the same thing and start an ad hoc process of sorts without any clear mechanism and without any indication of what's going to be done once it is done and however it is done. So I think at this point I have a lot more questions, and I wouldn't buy the idea as quickly until I know more about what people are talking about. If I'm not mistaken, this was an idea that was first posted by John Barrard. And to be honest, when I first read the email that he sent, I thought he was just making a wisecrack. And it seemed everybody took it to be a very serious suggestion. And I don't know, maybe I was wrong. Thanks.
Thanks, Homer. Yes, I guess the Genesis Council need to focus on the PDP, and then I was really wondering why there is no motion for this, for the council call. I think it's quite unusual. In my 3 years in Genesis Council, I don't remember that we have such meeting, maybe once. Kathy, please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Good morning, everybody. I'm not sure all of the dynamics that are going on here, but as I watch these internet governance panels, I do think that something is being taken away from the GNSO. And so the big thing that I'd want to know is what pieces and how are the pieces going to be fed back through the GNSO to be evaluated. If there are new ideas, great, but we don't want them to go straight to the board. We want the ideas that affect the CCTLDs to go through the CCNSO, the ideas that impact the addressing groups to go through the ASO. We want anything with new GTLDs to come through us. And so I'm not sure whether this is a bypass process or whether these ideas get fed back through us. But if Sally could answer those questions, I think it would be really interesting. And if she could be pushed on to make sure that new GTLD and things that affect new GTLDs and domain names, and I think we're going to see a lot of content coming through here, guys. We want that to come back through the GNSO so that we can have an input on it. That's my thought. Thanks.
Thanks, Kathy. Marilia?
Thank you, Rafiq. This is Marilia speaking. Well, I'd like to agree with Amr. I think that if the CEO is kind of unbridled, then we have a problem here. But this may happen again with other topics related to ICANN. It's not only a problem related to internet governance. So I think that do believe that we need a mechanism to make sure that the ideas are going to flow through the community before they move forward, then this mechanism has to be carefully thought, not only for this specific discussion, but also for all the discussions, because I have the feeling that the way that the idea has come out and the moment that it has come out, it makes it sound a little bit opportunistic to me in order to slow down this particular discussion. And I think that many of us feel that there is a good moment now, a moment to move forward with the process of globalization that has been an important point on the agenda for many of us and for the organizations that have signed the memorandum of Montevideo. I think that we have the political moment to do it for many reasons, and most importantly, we have the discussion and the energy of the community put into that in a way that I have never seen before on the last 7 years that I have followed this topic. So I think that the moment is now, and we should definitely think about if we have a problem of accountability, how to address this problem, but in a way that is sustainable. And it works with other topics as well, and it's not only used as a mechanism to slow down the discussion on globalization. Thank you.
Thanks, Marilia. About the CEO and the issue, I think the NCIG already had and still have a problem with him since the beginning with the trademark clearing house. Plus 50, it's a long story. It's really long to explain here. Maybe Marina can give more details about, but we already have some problems in the way how the CEO behave and, you know, bypassing the community. I think for the internet governance issue, he may think that he can fix a lot of problems and try to move ahead. But, you know, I think for us, coming from civil society, we really care about the process because otherwise we will be marginalized again. So I see Kathy and Maria. I'm not sure. Kathy, you want to comment? Or, okay, Maria and Amr. Amr, please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafi. This is Amr. I just wanted to try to address some of the comments that Kathy made earlier, and just say from my personal perspective, ever since the Montevideo statement came out and ever since there's been talk of the Brazil conference and the internet governance issue, I have not personally seen how any of this actually affects the community in the GNSO, not in terms of, I mean, nothing solid. I assume there will be some sort of action taken post all of this when everything's done in March. But so far, the PDP is managed by the GNSO and it goes through the community. Any attempts to alter the PDP through the PDP manual, the GNSO working group guidelines, or Annex A of the bylaws, none of this has been touched. No one's actually said anything about changing any of that, even though there have been those the strategy panels for, and just the one, for instance, on the innovation of the multi-stakeholder model. But so far, there has been no action that I see or feel will change the way the GNSO manages the PDP significantly. And I'm still kind of lost or confused on how people see that might happen. I don't see any problem as of yet. If folks have any concerns on what will become a problem in the future as a result of all of this, I would be grateful to be enlightened. Thanks.
Thank you, Alan. Okay, I think we will wait for you to ready to report what will be discussed in this item, and we have more we have more to say about this internet governance issue, you know? And in particular we have the coming Brazil conference and also Singapore meeting. So if there is no any question or comment, maybe we can go to the next item, which is about the Working Group on Translation and Transliteration of Contact Information. I'm not sure if this group already sent a questionnaire to us or not, so maybe Rudy or Amar can give us... yes, Rudy, please go ahead.
Thank you, Rafik. Rudy Vansnik speaking for the transcript. Yes, there have been communication sent out a few weeks ago already, asking the SOs and ACs to come back with answers to the questions we have been addressing with regard to the translation and transliteration of contact information. And we are insisting, and in fact, we or ICANN staff has sent out a reminder to the SOs and ACs in order to get the responses back. Actually, the responses are very low, and we need them urgently in order to be able to address the discussions in a good manner. And in preparation for the meetings in Singapore, where we will try to have... face-to-face meetings with the different SOs and ACs in order to get direct input back from them. together with Chris Dillon, and Chris is really doing a great job for I. Unfortunately, have been off for a few weeks due to sickness. I have the impression that it is a PDP that will need a lot of support from the whole community, as it is actually not really clear the direction of, for instance, the contact data. What is it going to be? We know that there is the RDS and that there is a new data model that is going to be presented. We need to get a lot of input from the community in order to address the recommendations we want to do, as it covers, in fact, registry, registrar, and the registrant level. So it's all three of them are in, embedded in the discussion. I don't know if Amar is also on the call, if Amar has other information to add to this at this point.
Thanks, Rudy. This is Amar. Not much to add. Pretty much worked out the questions we want to answer. And like Rudy said, we've sent out requests for input to the different SOs and ACs. We extended sort of a special invitation to individual members of the GAC who come from countries that that don't use Latin script in their native languages. And I believe this is one of the issues that Ching Chao, who is the council liaison to this working group, is going to request help from the council on, just to see if we can sort of push along this request, because it was deemed by the work group as something important to be taken into consideration. There are also a few other activities, like Rudy mentioned, the registration data services, the expert working group. There's also the internationalized registration data expert working group, which is starting, I believe, to do its work as well. And one of the interesting things that I learned on this working group that I didn't know, and perhaps other people were aware of this, but I knew that there would be a post-expert working group, PDP, but what I didn't know is that their final report would be the issue report for this PDP. And that sort of raises a few questions for me, and I'm not sure. So does that mean that any feedback provided now at this point would be feedback for the issue report, or will there be another round of feedback when the final report becomes the issue report for a post-expert working group PDP? These are just a few questions I suppose we need to get answers to. I only learned this over the past few days over email on this working group's list. Thanks.
Thanks, Amar. I'm not sure about the internationalized registration data working group. I didn't know that it is still up. As far as I remember, it was a joint working group with the CCNSO, if I'm not mistaken. And mostly the discussion were more really about kind of practices that already exist in CCTLD world and so on, and it was mostly really kind of technical discussion, and it was not really PDP, so which is understandable when you work with CCNSO. I'm sorry if we are using a lot of acronyms. So CCNSO is the body working on country called TLDs. So about the questionnaire, I think in general, we are receiving now a lot of this questionnaire. It's kind of new things. It's adding a lot more overload for us. It's not easy to respond in time. And so it's more work to do. Honestly, I'm not sure that how we can handle, because we are receiving several questionnaires from several different working group, we are supposing having people there. So it's quite a change in what we had before as a process. So we need to find a way to handle that. I see Kathy wants to comment. Kathy, please go ahead.
Yeah, no, when we get to proxy privacy, we'll talk about comments and how absolutely critical it is that we respond to these things, or the people in your working groups don't have the ammunition they need to participate. The comments that are coming out. So I have a question for Amar and Rudy on this working group. This is an issue. Translation and transliteration of contact information seems to be right up the core of NCSG's mission. This is about making contact data of registrants and the internationalized domain names more accessible to law enforcement. Let's go to the bottom line. That's what we're talking about here. More accessible to law enforcement and intellectual property, so they don't have to go to the problems of finding the local registrars and getting this material translated. If you have other reasons for it, let me know. But that's what I see going on here. And yet, I'm not sure I see our position statements on this. And I'm not sure how I see our position statements consistent over time with principles and things like that. This is an issue that has been pushed through. I watched it in the Who Is Review team, and we knew that this was other countries, especially those who are using IDNs and going to use IDNs, have gotten a lot of pressure from ICANN about what they're going to do with this contact data. But this is critical to us. And I'm not sure we should be waiting for other groups. I'd love to know how we're going to develop our positions on this and whether we want translation and transliteration of contact information, whether we want ICANN to devote enormous resources to translation, whether we're going to put the burden on small registrars in developing countries. You know, how are we going to develop our positions on this, or do we have them already? Thanks.
Thanks, Kathy. I think maybe Amar can respond to that. Amar?
Thanks, Rafiq. This is Amar. Kathy, thank you, because I thought I was the only one who had problems with this PDP. The feedback I got when we were discussing the charter was, well, wouldn't it be great if folks had the opportunity to register domain names in their own languages and also provide registration data in their own languages and then have somebody else translate it all and transliterate it all. I also thought of this as just a bonus service more to the benefit of law enforcement and trademark holders than to anybody else. And the way I see it is that, well, this is already happening. When they want to find someone, they get their contact information. If it's in another language, I guess they do the translation themselves. And what I see right now is basically them trying to shove off this cost to another party, because the questions that this PDP is going to address is, one, whether it's desirable to translate and transliterate contact information. Two, if we do find it to be desirable, who do we think should make the decision on who should bear the costs of doing this? And let me say, this is something that the registrars, at least right now, seem to have a great deal of trouble with. They don't seem to be too keen on it, but I would say folks from SSAC and people who are involved in the IRB working group, I think they're the ones who are more or less, they see it from the perspective of, it would be great to have that everyone could just provide their contact data in their own languages and someone else would worry about translating it. But I do think it's a problem. I really do. And, well, Kathy, you're the first person I hear to agree with me so far. Thanks.
I agree with you completely, Amar, on many things.
Thanks. Amar, I think who will do the question, who will do this translation and transliteration, it's kind of a scary try, because they will see it as another expense to handle with the who is. So.
Yeah, exactly. They're worried that people are going to say, okay, we want this done, and we want the registrars to have to do it, and we want to put it in their contracts. So, yeah, they do see it as a problem, I think.
So, yeah, that's why they are quite – I think we can find them an eye in this question. So we have Rudy, Kathy, and Stephanie. So, Rudy, please go ahead.
Thank you, Rafiq. Rudy, Van Smith speaking.
I fully agree with Amar and with Kathy. It is a big question, and even aside the fact that we have to try to define who is going to bear the cost, the initial question I have for myself is, where are we going to put the data, the translated data or transliterated data? Is that going to be in the database, the WHIS database in itself, or is it going to be an extension outside? There are so many other questions on the table that, in fact, makes it really difficult to get a consensus on and refine the scope of the final decision and recommendation. Because if we want to make a recommendation and we know that there is many other there are many other things involved in the whole process, we cannot just say, well, this is it. It's too complex, and I'm afraid that we will end up in not really having a final recommendation that fits for everybody, and that would be a bad solution at the end.
Thanks, Rudy. Kathy?
Interesting. Okay, so again, this question has been out there, translation, transliteration of contact information for IDNs has been out there for a long time, and no one has given any answers. So that, for us, it is a mystery. It is a puzzle, but it's also an opportunity. There's very little leadership in this area. So I know there are lots of other big questions, where the data will go. I trust that I can, once they get the answer that law enforcement intellectual property wants, will help solve that question quickly. The question is, what can we do? What's the best thing for non-commercial organizations that are in the IDNs? And let me posit that the best thing is for their data to stay with their local registrars and maybe protected under local law. We translate this, and we're exposing them. I think that you can argue that we're exposing them to all sorts of international problems. Other people would argue that translating puts them on equal playing field with all the other WHOIS data, that English is the common language and everything should go into English. But I would love to, would it be possible for our PDP working group leaders to hold a discussion, particularly with our members who are going to be probably participating through the IDNs, to figure out what fits with privacy and what fits with due process here so that we can use our principles to recommend further action on the substance? Does that make any sense?
Well, Kathy, if I may reply to what you're asking, I would enjoy you join the call, and you can give a lot of input to us in the discussions.
Absolutely, I would. It's what's interesting is I've seen fistfights on this between the Russians and the Austrians and a guy from Pakistan, and the WHOIS review team, they actually wanted a lot of this, but there were fights about how to do it. I don't know if we want it, but they were running, in a lot of cases, they were running their country codes. I don't know what the right answer is, and I'm not sure how we get there, but I think we need, there's been a vacuum in this area for such a long time, I think we need to figure it out. But yeah, if you hold a call, I'll come on, but I don't have the answers. In large part because my data is going to be in English. You know, I'm going to provide it in English always. So this is a special case, and I'm not sure what the answer is. But thanks, Judy. And thanks, Rafiq.
Thanks, Kathy. We have Stephanie. Stephanie?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, I'll mute my speakers because I'm getting feedback here. There, okay. I was just going to say that I think I agree with what has been said so far. Obviously, this came up at the EWG because the question was raised, well, do we need to consider this? And I was actually quite surprised because nobody seemed invested in it, because it does add a layer or 10 of complexity to any central system if it's transliterated, right? Apparently the technical layer doesn't have to worry about this. So I said, well, then who's asking for it? And the reply was government/law enforcement. So I would tend to agree with the first point, namely the cost is getting offloaded somewhere and likely on the registrars and the central system, right? Mm-hmm. But from a due process perspective, I think it is important, the point that Kathy just raised, and that's why I was raising it, the whole point to the central system that the EWG is proposing is that there be a central authentication system and that you exercise some control on who's getting in there. And that only works if the central system can read everything. The moment you start distributing it, in other words, I guess what I'm saying is there could be a darker side to this transliteration proposal. It puts it back on the shoulders of the local registrars. Now, you want law enforcement to consult the local folks anyway, but you want to do it through an authenticated process. That's all I'm saying. I don't know whether I made that point at all clearly or not, but I think that the bottom line is there should be a query raised in the response to the EWG comments as well, because I don't think we talked about it at all in the EWG report. And there could be important repercussions in the details of how at least the authentication thing works, and let alone what's available in the central system. Is the transliterated stuff available? Can you search it in multiple languages? You know.
But Stephanie, can I ask a question? Guys, yeah. I hope it's okay to break protocol here, which is that I don't want the EWG answering these questions. It's here again, we have a situation where the EWG is going on in parallel with the GNSO working group.
I'm not suggesting, Kathy, that they answer it. I'm suggesting is they duct it, and it's very important. One of the, to my mind, really big frustrations about the EWG process is It's riding along in sublime ignorance of all the other PDPs. They know perfectly well they're going on. They ignore what they want, and they focus on what they want, you know? So, for instance, the classic was the RAA accreditation. We were supposed to be able to ignore what came out of the RAA accreditation agreement, but there are parties that want to accept everything that was in the RAA accreditation, and therefore the EWG is not giving advice on that area. And it's the same with the other PDPs. There's a recognition that there should be a PDP process after the EWG report is tabled, but it's not clear how many other PDPs that would override, because some of this stuff is going to override the work of the other PDPs.
Which is why I think maybe we need to keep this issue out. But let me ask you a question, and Rudy and Amr, this may be useful. Stephanie, can we put into the centralized database, I mean, if there is going to be the centralized database, if that's where EWG is going, non-transliterated contact data, just put it in the IDN form that it's submitted in.
Yeah. Yes,
okay, that's an option. Okay.
That was my basic question. Like, how does this? And apparently, it works fine the way it is. So the question is, who's asking for this? The only people are they at a non-root level, if you know what I mean. People are asking for it, and for all we know, it could be the intellectual property owners.
Yep. To make their life easier.
I don't like it. Does make life easier, right?
Great, thank you.
It's interesting that from this working group we are discussing about privacy. We have an item about expert working group and the new directory service, or who is, and also about proxy servers. So I'm just wondering if you want to continue this discussion here. I mean, and then after we come back to the rest of items of Genesis agenda. So since we have this momentum. Okay. So so since we started the privacy discussion, my understanding that we have a coming comment for the expert working group report and also for the proxy service. So maybe Kathy want to talk about and so to give a briefing, she start dropping something. Maybe we have to really to focus on it this week, so to be in time. Kathy?
Sure. Thank you, Rafiq. I don't know how many people on this call are part of our little privacy subcommittee, but to it, so we have two sets of comments that are due this week. One is to the expert working group. The interim report has been out since November. Obviously, Stephanie, who is our representative, who is the data, you know, who is an expert on this expert working group, not really representing anyone per se. These are independent experts. But Stephanie has worked night and day for a year on this group. That was only supposed to last 4 months. But we have comments that are due. I've circulated a draft that needs to be extended. We'll need kind of rapid response. I need to share with you guys, I think comments are our ultimate power in the process, because what we put in written word tends to reverberate now and in the future. So I think comments are important. I was a little disappointed. I posted comments and no one reviewed them. We also have comments due this week. This is the letter that was circulated to the SOs, ACs, and stakeholder groups, sorry, supporting organizations, advisory committees, and stakeholder groups by the Proxy Privacy Accreditation Working Group. I started a Google Docs for all members of the working group. We have about 6 participants from NCSG, which is great. I don't think anyone's edited it unless someone's gone on recently. So I'm not sure. I'm out here a little frustrated about how to provide, how to kind of make sure comments have feedback and without starting them 3 weeks early, because we're all volunteers and we don't have the time to start them early. I did try to start them, you know, earlier than the night before. So I'm looking for both procedural and substantive comments, if anyone has them, about kind of how we do this more easily, because this is hard. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. Okay, I see that Stephanie is promising to send an annotated version. You had your drafted statement. We have also that that privacy group. So just to be sure, when is the deadline? So when we need to submit? Is this week?
Yeah, it's this week for both of them. I think it's Thursday.
It's the 28th.
28th, Friday.
Okay. Yeah, Friday. Okay.
For the EWG.
Yes. So I think maybe also we have Maria, who is the new elected chair of the NCSG Policy Committee. So I think if you guys find a way, I mean, to maybe either to continue the discussion online, maybe even to have an ad hoc call so we can move quickly. And also, to share also with the membership so we can get the support quickly, and then we can submit in time.
I agree, but we've got a problem, which is if no one who's directly involved in the process comments on the outlines, we don't want something, you know, you don't want somebody to draft on these, this complicated an issue. Like Stephanie already gave me a lot of time working through kind of questions I had. There were a lot of ambiguities in the EWG report, which is great. But we kind of need a process here, because there are a lot of people who want to review it, but very few people who want to write it. and comment on it. We don't, so I tried an experiment here, which is putting out kind of bullet points to see if people agreed. Do we have all the issues covered? Do we have, because the last thing you want to do is rewrite someone's writing. So let's start with brainstorming. Do we have all the points covered? You know, are we covering all the bases? Does everyone agree with, you know, do the people fundamentally closely involved on the issue agree with the basic points? And we got a stalemate. We got on hold because no one commented. So it's really impossible to push it. It's really difficult to push it to getting where the membership can review it if the inner core of people isn't reviewing it. And so I don't know how to push this process better, but thanks.
Can I jump in here? It's Stephanie. I spent quite a bit of time on the phone with Kathy on this, and I read it. So I figured, well, I've put enough in. I better keep quiet because, after all, I was part of the drafting of the report. But I'd be happy to participate if we take an hour. If it takes an hour to discuss it, and I am overdue. I promised I would send sort of the annotated version that you could just scan for the yellow bits if you haven't got time to read the whole immense report. So I'll try and get that out today. And my apologies for not getting it out sooner. The other thing that I brought up, I think, on the email is there's lots of folks that have asked for another meeting with the EWG in Singapore to discuss issues. And, well, not lots, two or three, you know. And I would suggest that maybe that might be one way around getting comments in on time. If you booked a meeting and you wanted to elaborate further, then all we need to do is put a marker in the comments, get them in, and then discuss it further at the meeting, because that's what everybody else seems to be doing. They don't want to put anything in writing, you know?
Okay. Thanks, Stephanie. In terms of process, Since we have this time constraint, I think the policy committee can handle this, so they can submit as policy committee, and maybe Maria can handle that. So Maria, and also we have Rudy, the new vice chair of the PC, so they can work with that privacy group. So, well, what I can suggest, if you want to have an ad hoc call this week, so you can go through all those bullet points, you agree, and then you move quickly. So if you need that, we can ask to have the bridge forward and even Adobe Connect, so you can really work. Just it will take 1 hour, and then you can move forward. I'm not sure if Stephanie wants to comment, or she was raising her hand from before, and then we have Marilia and Amar. Stephanie, want to speak up? Or?
Actually, I just was lazy and left my hand up from before, but I think, did you have a precise question? I was busy typing in that we're meeting, the EWG's meeting in L.A. for 3 days to pull a report together, so I really think that if we had a meeting and we raised a bunch of points, it would make an impression.
Yeah,
so.
Stephanie, about that, I saw your request in that time, and I responded to you if we can meet the EWG. So how long, you know, I think for NCAG we have, I think at maximum 3 hours in the constituency day, so maybe 30 to 45 minutes should be okay, so we can give our comments, so we can go straight to the point. So,
right.
Is it okay?
I don't know what the process is for asking for that. I can raise it at our next call, but I think it'd be better to just fire in a request to Denise or Margie or somebody like
Jean
that.
Jean-François, the chair.
Oh yes, of course, François. I always forget him.
Usually it's, the staff who try to contact us if we want to have a joint meeting, something like that. But, I can do the opposite and ask, which is unusual. But anyway, yeah, if we can have this joint meeting, so, and
Should be okay. Yes,
that's
Maria?
Great. That's a great idea, Rafi.
Hi, it's Maria Farrell here. Yeah, listen, I'm just responding on the broader issue about how we get more timely responses to our public comments and documents we need to write. So I'm the new chair of the policy committee, and Rudy is the vice chair. And so I have to put my hand up and say I'm one of the people who did not respond to Kathy's draft over the weekend, or from late last week. So I guess I'm part of the problem. But I think, you know, going forward, one of the things I'm trying to do is update our wiki so we've got a good idea of what's outstanding. And I'm also wondering, would it be a good idea to have like a standing weekly call for, you know, 1 hour, say on a Monday or something, to just go through what the outstanding papers are and the people who are working on them? Or is that just adding more kind of meetings and burden to the mix? So I just wonder what people think about that.
Maria, I think you are talking in general, not just for this call. And not just for this issue.
Okay.
Just to clarify, when you are talking about the weekly call, it's not just about the EWG, but for any public comment that we can have, a working group or whatever?
That's correct, yeah. And Kathy's saying, how about a half hour? Yeah, a half hour once a week, just for outstanding, you know, policy inputs that we need to do, just to keep an eye on things, yeah.
Can I comment out of order again? This is Kathy. Maria, I think that's a great idea. If we go for an hour, we're going to wind up talking about it, and whoever drafted is going to wind up having to put in, is going to wind up with a huge editing burden. If we go for half an hour and just highlight what needs to be done and where it is, then I think everyone can go back and draft it, you know, and can go back and do line edits themselves, and that would be really helpful, I think, to the drafter.
Yeah, okay, good. Less is more.
And just a flat, yeah, exactly. And you know, because if people put their own words in, you can kind of accept or reject, but at least you see what's in their head, and that's great. The other thing I'd recommend is that we not publicly post our drafts. We don't want to flag early to other groups what it is you're thinking about. They may know, but in some cases they may not. So keeping things in Google Docs, Amr started this a while ago, keeping things in Google Docs with as wide a private audience as possible might be good until we actually submit the comments. Just a thought. Thanks.
Okay. Amr, please go ahead.
Well, thanks, Rafi. This is Amr. I just had a question for Stephanie that I had asked a short while ago. I was wondering if she knows anything about this. If not, I could possibly also bring it up during the next council call. But will the final report of the expert working group be posed as an issue report for an ensuing PDP? And if so, will there be another round of public comments on the issue report before it's finalized? I guess this is the first time that we have a post-expert working group PDP, and the process isn't clear to me right now. If Stephanie has any light she could shed on this, I'd be grateful. If not, I could ask for just at least pose a question during the next council call. Thanks.
I'll just jump in and answer that. I think it's still pretty vague. I had asked the same question myself because I was concerned, and I remain concerned, that there's still not enough clarification about the details. We get all these comments in, and then what? We just digest them ourselves and hand it over to the board? That doesn't seem quite right. There should be a comment period on the final report before that gets digested by the board and then handed off to a PDP. And the way the board has been acting, you know, whether we should get all excited about this little melodrama that went on over the past week or not, it's a little worrisome, given the sign of the times, that they could just say, well, we're not going to talk about this anymore, and here's this little subgroup that will push the Who Is review forward, you know? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm worried about. So I think it's important to ask for another comment period when you see the final report and clarification about, is it one PDP? Is it five PDPs. And the other thing that I keep saying every time I talk about this, the solutions and strategies that are in the proposed final report, the only reason I didn't throw myself down on the train tracks over a couple of them is getting controls, getting authentication controls for who looks at the stuff, making them limited and specific to purpose. So if that stuff falls out of the final report and nobody can comment on it and gets hustled off to a PDP, it's not right. I'll just leave it at that. Okay? So I think that that maybe that's a major chunk of our input is what's the process going to be? How is this? How do we control this to make sure that the parts we like don't get weeded out into separate PDPs, you know, and left to languish?
Thanks, Tiffany. It looks a lot of that needs a lot of careful strategy and to check the pros and cons and the approach that we want to follow. I think we had several sections to action. So to be sure that we are going to follow up, which is really matters. First, we try to have a meeting with the expert working group in Singapore. So I will liaise with Stephanie so she can guide me to whom I should contact for that. So the group, the privacy group and the NCGPC should work on the draft this week. Maybe they can have a call or whatever to submit in time. Stephanie can send her annotated version of the report. And then after that, we need, I think, to work on what kind of strategy we want. Maybe another, if I understood correctly, maybe another public comment period or whatever. So a lot of action. So please remind, if I'm missing something, just please remind me. I'm trying to take notes so we can follow up and to not miss anything. I'm not sure if it's Stephanie or Maria want to speak up or just to, you know, forget to down your hand. Maria? No, oh, Stephanie. Ah, okay. So, any other comment on this? Okay. So, still on the... in the privacy issue, I think another point is the privacy, privacy proxy service. And this is more the questionnaire from the working group. We have several members in that working group. So I guess it's more trying to explain what are the expectations and how we should handle this this questionnaire. So to be really... to respond to that in time and to not miss that. I think we have Maria Hammer, Kathy in that working group. So Hammer, can you just, you know, give some briefing?
This is Hammer. The questionnaire, I believe, is unless I am mistaken, but the questionnaire I believe is a. It's a questionnaire posed to registrars more than it is to anyone else, and or privacy and proxy service providers to be more accurate. I think what we need to do is focus on feedback on the questions themselves. I think I need to go back and check this and to just make sure that I've got it all right. I think Maria might be able to help me out on this one.
Okay. Just one question. I also saw there is announcement, but it's coming from the EWG about also the proxy service a few days ago. I think it's a request for information from proxy service provider and so on, if I'm not mistaken. It's not. I don't think it's related to the proxy service working group, but
So maybe there is some overlap. Yes, Stephanie, to be honest.
What that is, I think you're referring to a request for information that went out, and various communities have already reacted negatively to it. They did an RFI for cost estimates and how you would do the verification of information in the proposed registry. In other words, address verification and those kinds of services. And in fact, in our last call, we had a discussion with the Postal Service, the International Postal Service, you know, whatever they're called, the UN body, because, of course, they're trying to market their services, and they do address verification. So they came to see us in Buenos Aires, and they're going to respond to this RFI, and they're sending it out so that anybody else who does address verification services can also respond. And apparently this is to get better cost ideas about how that could be done and what it's going to cost. Because I imagine they anticipate hearing from the registrars to the effect that if you think you're going to load all that on us, you're crazy, you know? So is that what you're referring to? I think it must be. I think there's only one RFI out.
I think so, Stephanie. That's it. So, and then we have the questioner from the other working group to respond. And I see that Kathy is raising her hand. Yes, Kathy.
Rafiq, are we talking about the questionnaire from the Proxy Privacy Accreditation Working Group?
Yes.
Stakeholder group, right.
Yeah.
Guys, there's so much stuff that goes on in ICANN. And I think we have to prioritize. The questionnaire we got from the Proxy Privacy Accreditation Working Group runs to the very vision of our stakeholder group for what the future of proxy privacy services is, the biggie. We fought over, for those who don't know, the working group members fought over the questions because they're not very fair and they're not very good. But nonetheless, we're going to get a lot of input from the intellectual property groups, from the commercial groups. We'll probably get less input from the registries and registrars, or we'll get some, and we may get some from GAC. And if we don't share a vision, we haven't even come together on what our vision is. This is one of the biggies. I think we kind of have to separate the big ones from stuff that other people might object to, or stuff that we just don't have time to deal with. And Maria, as chair of our policy committee, I think you get to do this with Rafiq and Rudy. What is it that we really need to devote attention to? And I know in the past we spent a lot of time trying to figure out, you know, where we do it. I've got to share that I think that this questionnaire is one of the big ones in our portfolio right now.
Thanks, Kathy. I think this prioritization is quite important. I think we are realistic. We cannot respond to all comments, but privacy issue is something that we quite important to NCAG, so we need to focus on it. So it's another task for us to respond in time. I hope that we still have some time for the to respond before the deadline. I'm not sure. Kat, you want to comment again or just you?
I'm not sure whether to push out the draft that I sent to the privacy subcommittee without any comments and push it out to the whole membership, or wait till I have comments from the privacy subcommittee. This is also due by the end of the week. It's due Thursday or Friday.
Okay. Okay, I think we need to share the workload. Yes, we can share with the whole membership if we can get any feedback. So just to respond to Marilia, yes, we should respond to the questionnaire, and as Kathy said, the deadline is this week. So okay. So there is a lot of we have many parallel tracks, and we need to respond in time. So it's a lot of work, I think, for the privacy group and NCGPC. We need all everybody to be involved so we can make it in time. Okay, if there is no any other comment about this, let me try to check if we covered all who is related issue. One sec, please. So I think so. So we can back again to the next item in agenda. So council call, and yes, I want really to thank Kathy for her energy and really passion about who is issue. So maybe for those who don't know that, Kathy, I think you are the co-founder of the NTUC in, I'm not sure, more than 10 years ago. So, and still keeping fighting.
15, who's counting?
Hmm?
Almost 15, 13. But who's counting?
Wow, 15,
Thank you, Robbie.
Thanks. I was in high school in that time.
That's really sad.
For
me, for me.
And we still keep fighting on that. So it's really important to keep that. And we have now, like, Stephanie and many other members. So hopefully we will find a way how to keep that and to respond to comments and so on. It's not easy, but we enjoy this kind of challenge. Okay, so let's back to other agenda items. So the next one is about engagement with the work of the ICANN strategy panels. It's a kind of back to maybe kind of what we were talking about, this kind of strategy panel initiated by the CEO. It's quite top-down approach, but my understanding here that Geneso Council want to follow what is happening here and to report. So maybe Geneso Council can explain or brief us about that.
Sorry, Rafiq, it's Maria. I can say something about that.
Yes, please go ahead.
Sure. So this is Maria Powell, and there are, as I understand it, three of these things outstanding. These are the strategy panels that were appointed. So for new people, it's the strategy panels appointed by the CEO last year to look at different strategic areas of ICANN's future and come up with some new solutions. And some of the criticism has been that it's a bit of a top-down solution. But anyway, so there are three of them. There's one which held a conference call that I attended about a month ago, and that is the one on multi-stakeholder engagement, I think it's called. And that is led by Beth Novick, and they are talking about doing things like crowdsourcing for decision-making and how to improve participation and that. So that's one I think that we should put something in for, and I was going to volunteer to start drafting on that one, actually, because I think one of the points I raised on the call that strategy panel had last month was that they have all of these nice, cute crowdsourcing, let's fix it with technology kind of things, and they're not looking at some of the structural inequalities that, for example, non-commercial stakeholders face, and the likelihood that decisions will be kind of appealed back to the board or to U.S. Congress, or all sorts of workarounds. So I'd like to draft something along those lines. And there are two others that I think are open for comments at the moment, if I'm not wrong. One just came out late last week, which is the strategy panel on internet governance, and that was it's being led by Vint Cerf. So obviously it's very high profile, and they have put out a 60 or 70 page document, which I have not even downloaded yet, but I think we probably need to look at that one because it's on all of the sort of outward-facing internet governance issues. And I think we should probably put together a group of people to look at that and respond internally on that. And as the policy committee chair, co-chair, I'll have a go at doing that coordination side. And then there's a third one, which is the one that it's got a really, really innocuous title, and I've been told to watch out for it, and I can't remember what it's called. It's like organization, or no, numbering resources or something like that. Maybe somebody else can help me out there, but there's a third one, and I've been told we should really take a look at it. So from the procedural point of view, the answer is we've got a little bit of time from a couple of weeks to a month or more to input on these, and I'm going to try and coordinate some readers and drafters and inputters on these. But maybe somebody else can help me out with what that other panel is.
Just to add to this one, I'm just trying to put together our Singapore agenda at the moment, and there'll be about an hour. I think we're going to have about an hour to talk about this in council prep and talk to Teresa and so on. So there'll actually be quite a bit of time to talk about this in Singapore. There's quite a lot of things coming out of this. Personally, I was supposed to... They're trying to talk to me in the last week, and they didn't seem to get around to it. But I made some comments on one of these, which is moving from simple voting to ranked voting, which is one of these things that seems... strange. One of these things which seems strange and unfamiliar to people in the US and UK and a few other nations are used to simple who gets the most votes kind of voting, but in Australia we use ranked voting, which is would actually the suggestion is we move to that for many the suggestion the panel is putting forward is we move to that for many basically any time we use a vote inside ICANN for selecting people to positions would actually be a thing that would have quite a lot of changes. So is and that's just one example. There are quite a lot of sort of innocuously described changes suggested that would actually have some, you know, quite a significant differences in terms of the sort of both the power balance and how we do things inside ICANN. So there's some interesting stuff going on here.
Thanks, David. So you mean that there will be discussion in Singapore about this those panels?
I was specifically talking about in the GNSO council prep sessions and things that I'm putting together the agenda for at the moment.
But my understanding that the request was made by, it's not really just from GNSO Council, but the GNSO community at large. And my understanding that maybe you want to ask OneNet and maybe the high-level panel for us. I mean, to present the work, something like that. I'm not mistaken.
We haven't actually put that on the agenda at the moment, and I don't know that they'll be there, so I'm not sure what to do. But I think we certainly are going to get. I don't know who of the high level panel is going to be there, but we certainly, or any of the strategy panels is going to be there. But we certainly are hoping to get people to present those. We're hoping that there's a lot of these panels. There's five of them, and sort of all of them are doing things, at least have at least some things they do that are relevant to practically everybody, including the GNSO. So it's going to be a real kind of, actually just straight logistical difficulty to get them to talk to everybody.
For sure, that's sure. Just I want to take this opportunity. I think we have several newcomer and new member. If you have any question, please feel free to ask. For clarification or please feel free to ask any time. Okay. So
In relation to those panels, they start to publish their report. So, if we have the five report, can we do we really think that we can respond them to them? I mean, to comment them, because the strategic panel is part of the strategic planning for the ICANN, which goes till April, and I think we need to provide input like about the multi-stakeholder innovation and so on, because I think we have strong interest on those kind of topics. Okay. I don't see any other comment, just some discussion and then the chat. So to the next item, which is about the GAG engagement with the GNSO. So, we have Amar. Yes, Amar, please go ahead.
No, thanks, Rafiq. This is Amar. This item is on the agenda too, because some of the GNSO counselors are taking part, six to be precise, are taking part in a joint consultation group between the GNSO Council and the GAC, the Government Advisory Committee, to encourage and find out ways where we could have early GAC engagement into the GNSO's policy decision-making process. As opposed to advice that goes straight to the board after all the work's been done. I'm on that consultation group, as well as David, being one of the vice chairs of the GNSO Council. Right now, this joint consultation group has come up with two tracks to work in, and recommendations that we should be presenting to the council during this next call, as well as our counterparts will be doing the same with the GAC. And these two tracks, one of them is sort of an overview of the policy decision-making process and all the sort of steps involved at which engagement can take place, starting with initial reports and ending with public comments before the board votes after recommendations have been ratified by council. The second track that the GAC GNSO consultation working group is working on is the day-to-day sort of engagement and work that will be taking place between the two groups. And six items have been laid out as sort of recommendations on how this can be done. One of them is a GNSO council liaison to the GAC, who would be sort of an observer in their meetings and to help them and keep them up to date with the ongoing policy issues, as well as possible viewpoints within the GNSO, and trying to sort of match with the GAC areas of interest where they believe public policy might be an influencing factor, and so just encourage them to get involved in the process as early as possible. Another thing would be for the respective chairs of the GNSO Council and the GAC to sort of have regular interaction and stay in touch with each other. There's a third issue of a sort of a buddy system, and I believe this is between working group, members of the GNSO Council who are liaison to working groups, and sort of having them also provide updates to the GAC and get and encourage them to interact where they think it might be interesting for them. The fourth issue is working out joint meetings between the GAC and GNSO, whether these take place during ICANN public meetings or during calls such as those taking place right now with the consultation group. Another thing is just making sure that there's early awareness of the GAC members on different PDPs and what's going on. And finally, I think that might be it, actually. So it's all just sort of working on two tracks, one on making sure they're up to date with the PDP and when things are happening, and the second is just sort of managing the day-to-day operations between the two groups. And the whole point is to encourage early engagement so that they don't come in very late in the process when recommendations get to the board and they say, okay, the GNSO has been working on this for a year and a half, and the work's all done, and now we want to say we don't like it, we think you should not adopt the recommendations being made by the GNSO. So that's basically what it is. I'm happy to answer any questions that folks have or concerns on this. And personally, one of the things that I think might be very useful to come out of this is having folks from the GNSO involved in GAC closed meetings, which has not been the case before. And this, I think, is a positive step in a way to not only have this interaction with them, but sort of to be present during the discussions that take place during the GAC while they are developing their own internal policy mechanisms. So I think it seems like a promising step towards bringing the GAC on board with the processes already present in the GNSO, as opposed to them just saying, no, we don't like what the GNSO is doing. Board, you should do something different. Thanks.
Thanks. However, if we can attend the closed meeting, I think that will be a revolutionary within the GAC. Stephanie, please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafiq. I just wanted to raise a point that I'm sure you've heard me sort of mumbling on about before, and that is the composition of the GAC causes me some concern, particularly in the light of what's going on internationally with Brazil. If, as I suspect, the people that come to the GAC are at a relatively junior level, and they're doing it because this stuff is technical and a lot of the senior people don't want to be bothered coming to meetings that are so technical, and then we start having a sort of an international, well, for lack of a better word, punch-up like we're having with Brazil, then all of a sudden you get folks coming in at either the political level or a senior level who may not have been briefed up on what's been going on over the last umpteen years, and all of a sudden there are new positions and new situations. I don't know how you defend against that if I'm right, and this is indeed the case. And it's not the case for every single country. Certainly, I think the European Union has, you know, a pretty well-organized response, and so does the United States. I'm not sure about everybody else. You know, we really, unless someone has done an examination of who shows up from the GAC, I'm just saying I think there's a lot of wild cards out there. And I'm just wondering if anybody is looking at that or figuring out what's happening. There was a few remarks at the high-level committee yesterday that certainly confirmed what I was suspecting. So, you know, anyway, I just wanted to raise that.
Thanks, Stephanie. Just to try to be sure, because also for Brazil meeting, there is another GAC, and like in the ICANN, we have GAC, but it's I'm not sure how much they are similar. But it's a good question about the involvement of GAC representative. I mean, in particular for those from developing country, how much they are active. And what we observe from outside, looked at few countries, from developing countries, developed world have a lot of leverage there, and like United States, UK, Australia maybe, and Canada. So
David, you want to comment?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. The sorry, I sometimes get confused. I've got the mute button on. I don't think it is restricted. I mean, I think developing countries actually usually have quite a small number of people involved in internet governance, and the chance we'll get the same person going who normally goes to the GAC going to the Brazil is probably reasonable. But absolutely, in Australia and a few other countries, this the problem Stephanie is referring to is very real. What absolutely is happening with our Australian reps, for example, is that the people who normally go to the GAC are people who within the Department of Communications, and are the same people who go roughly who go to the GAC, the ITU. Now have someone on the MAG and the IGF, and generally have a very good understanding of of the difference between multilateral and multi-stakeholder and what exactly the debates that are going on here, and probably would be very firmly in favour of multi-stakeholderism, and probably, I mean, we don't always agree with every policy position they take in the GAC, but we can rely on them to be in favour of multi-stakeholderism and ICANN and so on, because they know the terrain. But those aren't the people who've actually been invited to the Brazil meeting. The Brazil people, they're Foreign Affairs Department has gone straight to our Foreign Affairs Department, and we've got people who've never been involved in internet governance at all being invited to Brazil. Who may well, this isn't even an unknown quantity, this is a definite bad quantity. We're getting the people from Foreign Affairs who've been negotiating, for example, things like the TPP, which is terrible. The Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, that is, which is a terrible agreement. So the danger Stephanie is alluding to is a very real one.
Yes.
The people organizing this don't know what they're doing, and we may be getting very not the same people we're used to at all, and we may be getting our governments may suddenly be appearing to veering wildly their position because we've sent, frankly, people who have no idea what they're doing. So there really is nothing we can do about this at the international level, I think. We have to do it at the kind of domestic level. We have to go, just a second, who are we sending to this and why, and see what we can do to put pressure on our individual governments to adopt the right position, or at least the people that were being sent will have, make sure they've talked to the right people. So this is a real danger with the Brazil thing, I think, at the government level. So that's it.
Thanks, David. I think Marina want to comment on that as a member of the executive committee for the Brazil meeting, and my understanding that they sent the invitation to Ministry to Foreign Affairs. That's why they explained that it's a country that's sending people from Foreign Affairs and not really those people who are involved on the internet governance issue. Olivia, can you maybe you have more details and you can explain that?
Yes, thank you, Rafiq. This concern was raised by civil society in the last two meetings of the executive committee. I believe that it was Adam that have raised the concern. The response from the Foreign Affairs representative, Ambassador Benedito, that in all international conferences is the right procedure to go through the Ministry of External Relations of Foreign Affairs. What they can think we could do to help them address this concern is to indicate to them and signal to them if there is a country that we feel very strongly that another minister, which is not the Foreign Affairs, should be invited. They could mention it in the letter, but not bypass the foreign ministry completely, because it is the way to do things in international relations. But we did raise this concern, and I think that we have this option to signal if we feel very strongly about it. We can convey this message to Ambassador Benedito, and other than that, it's actually up to us if we believe that a particular ministry would represent a country better than the other, to push internally and talk to the ministry representatives for them to be able to be there too, because if they want to participate, I doubt that any foreign ministry would say, no, you are not going to. You have been the ministry following the topic so far, but you are not going to. They would not do that, most likely. The problem is that maybe the invitation letter will not be routed to the ministry that we want, so it's up to us internally to raise their awareness about this invitation as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Maria. Okay, I see David and then Stephanie. David, please go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I just left my hand up. Sorry.
Okay, so I guess it's the same for Kathy.
No, it's not. Yeah. I'm in the queue.
Oh, sorry. Yes, guys, please go ahead.
Okay. Guys, I don't know much about Brazil, so let me, in the upcoming meeting, I do know that it's making our own GAC look rosy by comparison, so let me just say I don't think our own GAC is rosy by comparison. We have a lot of people there who come from commercial. You know, the United States is represented by the Department of Commerce, and they're very powerful, and they have trademark interests and patent interests at the core of their concern, not free speech and not privacy and not due process. We meet with them frequently on this, but other countries have followed suit by sending their commercial players, not their communications players. So let me raise some concerns, Amar, about what you presented, and I'll let you and Dave handle them as you see fit. One is, if there's only one representative from the GNSO to the GAC, it's a very powerful position, and I wonder whether we're going to get it. It's a very time-consuming and powerful position, and if it falls to one of the commercial guys who's getting paid to do this professionally, what's the downfall? What's the danger? I hear the upside, but what's the downside? So I think Stephanie was raising some of these concerns as well. The other is we're watching ALAC become, you know, for better or for worse, and often their contributions are very positive, but we're watching them go from being an advisory committee to being part of the multi-stakeholder policymaking process. They're jumping in more and more. Do we want the same for GAC? Do we want them to become a policymaker? Do we want them to continue to advise, but to advise, you know, maybe earlier, to have some flags earlier in the process rather than later? But we're watching them in many cases jump into working groups now, and I'm not sure they're representing the full GAC. That's hard. They're representing the interests and backgrounds that they have. So just raising some concerns about what I'm hearing and some of the dangers if it doesn't go our way, or if the representatives turn out to have, on both sides, our GNSO's representative to GAC and GAC's representative to the GNSO wind up having very, very vested interests, in new powerful positions, what could be the negative side of that? Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. Stephanie?
I totally agree with what Kathy just said, but that's a whole other, I don't know how you deal with that. You folks have been at ICANN long enough. I mean, for sure, it's going to be an intellectual property guy if the Commerce Department has anything to say about it, and I suspect they will. So I think that's a real threat. I just wanted to raise the fact that I think business, and the only one that I was chatting with yesterday in the meeting was Joe Aladef. Does anybody know Joe Aladef? I don't think he hangs out at ICANN.
Yeah, I know him pretty well.
Yeah, he's from Oracle. And I think they share the same concerns. Like anybody who's done a lot of international work could see, and for those who don't know me, I did spend 35 years in government, most of it doing international stuff. Could see what was playing out, and I am concerned because I think the invitations are going to the wrong people, and you're not going to stop somebody who wants to be the high-level rep of their country. If there's only one or two invitations, man, that's almost that train is hard to stop. Mm-hmm. So we've got so little control over that. But on this one, Like the stuff that was going on at the board, we may actually be singing in harmony with the private sector. So they can work behind the scenes very effectively through their commerce departments, and they're not going to like what's happening if it is shaping up to be an ITU feast, you know. just want to put that in. How we do that, I don't know. I mean, I can reach out to the guy on my committee, the ones I know, but I almost think we should have a meeting, an early morning meeting at Singapore with the commercial constituency and talk about this, or bring it up in the multi-stakeholder committee that some of us are sitting on.
Okay. I think for this item we are discussing about the GAG in ICANN and also the GAG for the Brazil meeting. So sometimes it can be confusing. So we have David and Marilia. Dave, please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I understand the idea about the GNSO GAC liaison is potentially a fairly important position. I think we're trying to be fairly careful that it will be our idea at the moment is that it will be someone who has been a counselor, and we're hoping it will be someone who, whatever constituency they come from, is at least perceived as being, pro-GNSO, if nothing else. So it certainly is the idea that this position carries, no overt sort of power, but as the liaison, some kind of significant sort of soft power position is something that is definitely being considered. So I appreciate the concern there, but I don't know what else we can do other than having sort of four separate liaisons, which I don't think would be necessarily. Well, actually, maybe the GAC wouldn't care, but we're unlikely to get funding for those positions. We're trying to make this a position that carries travel funding because we think that this person will have to sit, basically spend their entire week in GAC meetings, and when they're not, spend their time in the GNSO. So it's going to be a very time-consuming position. And I'm actually thinking none of the real it will be very time-consuming, so we're hoping whoever is doing it will at least take the role fairly seriously. And the idea that it does carry some significance is a fair one. And it does sort of, we do are opening this idea up that we'll get yet another position for perpetual ICANNers to occupy once they leave council. But at least if it is experienced councillors, we will have some idea of whether or not we trust them in that role. So that I don't know what else we can do, really, other than not have the position at all. That's it.
Thanks, Dave. So we have Marina, and then maybe we can close this discussion and go to the next item. Marina, please go ahead.
Thank you. It's very quick. It's just a small point I forgot to mention regarding governmental representation for the Brazilian meeting. We did agree that if government sent representatives on the ministerial level, they would be allowed to take three representatives to the meeting. And if the representative is not a minister, they would take two representatives. So numbers have been limited to make sure that there will be enough space for the representation of other stakeholder groups and the government don't get overrepresented. Ambassador Benedito did raise the point that in some special different cases, they could be requested to let more governmental representatives come. We did mention this in the meeting that if other places are required for government, then these places should be taken from the special guests that will be in the meeting, not from other stakeholder groups. I think they agreed with that. But just to mention to you that the concern, it's solid because there will only be up to three governmental representatives in the meeting, and there might be some fighting between different ministers to make sure of who's going to come represent and represent countries in the meeting. I believe that for many countries like Brazil and most or many European countries I know, the foreign ministry is a good representative in terms of internet governance debate, but it's not the case for all different countries. I understand that we may have a problem there, and we should act early internally as well to try to address it in the best way possible.
Thanks, Maria. If we there is no any additional comment on this, we'd like really to move to the next item. We still have several topics that we should talk about in particular before Singapore meeting, and it's already almost 2 hours in this call, so maybe we can extend for 50 minutes. So, so that's why I'm trying to move more quickly. So, I'm sorry for that. Okay. I'm going to skip the item about the forthcoming review of the Genesis. So I think it's something that's moving really slow. Unless if you have any update about it, so something that we need to care about or to prepare. Otherwise, I want to go to the planning for Singapore, maybe from the GENASO Council perspective, and also from NCAG standpoint. So, what kind of topic, for example, we want to discuss with the board and so on. So maybe for this item, maybe Dave, you can give us some updates if there is any change, maybe in the GENASO weekend.
Yes, thank you, Rafiq. Thank you for reminding me. I'm supposed to send my latest draft of the draft agenda out in the next, like right now. We're sort of for the... I'm finalizing the council agenda right now. Mostly, it's pretty much as you would expect. A lot of meetings with senior people and a lot of reports from working groups. We are going to have an hour or two for discussion about the strategy panels. We have a few changes. I think we'll be meeting with Cyrus and rather than on the for new GTLD stuff. So we're moving to sort of talking about the to more specific operational things. We might be still be meeting. This is an unusual one thing about this meeting that's unusual is an opportunity to meet with RSAC if anyone is really keen on that, because they'll actually be meeting at the same time, which they normally don't. I don't know. Well, I have the schedule in front of me, but there's nothing I think that would really surprise anyone who hasn't. Very little that would surprise anyone who's been to any previous ICANN meetings. But I'm happy to take questions.
But my understanding that in the Sunday afternoon, you have time for the house to meet. So
absolutely. From 4:30 to 6:30 is scheduled for stakeholder group or constituency meetings. So we might want to do the... NCSG policy committee meeting then, or we can use it for any purpose we like, really.
Yes, I already asked it to the ICANN staff to book that time slot, so it's already in the schedule, I think.
Yep, 4:30 to 6:30.
So we'll have the NCSGPC meeting in that time, so that will be the best time to discuss about motion and to agree and vote for the GENASO Council Wednesday. because really we don't have so much time in the Constituency Day, and I guess it's we should do the Constituency Day maybe to have joint meetings like with the expert working group and so on.
Yeah, we have the Constituency Day. We have pretty much what you'd expect. We have, at the moment, I think, NPOC are 8:30 to 12, and NCUC are 9 to 12:30. I don't know where we're quite, like, half an hour out of sync there. Then board is when we're meeting with the board from board and NCSG from sorry we're meeting NCSG is meeting from 1 to 2, 3, and then 3:30 to 4:30 is board and NCSG, and we actually then have a couple of hours for until some cocktails in the afternoon.
So. So we have just like 2 hours and a half. That's big problem. Just 2 hours and a half to discuss at stakeholder group level. Anyway.
The stakeholder group is just scheduled from 1 to 3. Yeah.
Yeah. The problem is that we have that board meeting with the board, and so and after the board we'll meet with the GAT. So no way really to. Okay.
Well, that's the Tuesday schedule. We could we actually, if we wanted to, I don't know what else is on the schedule from 4:30 to 6:30 on Tuesday. But if we wanted to do more stakeholder group stuff, we probably could.
I think most people maybe want to attend the public meeting between the board and the GAC.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah. Oh, no, the board and the GAC is always a
big show.
yeah, always interesting.
So that's why the I think really that meeting in Sunday for the NCGPC is important, so we can go through any policy issue, motion and so on, and to agree on that time so we can focus on other topics in the Constituency Day. And talking about the Constituency Day, so I shared... Terry, can you please go back to the previous agenda?
Yes.
Oh, by the way, general scheduling stuff, the one thing that will surprise everybody is the gala has been moved to Monday night. So there you are.
It makes sense, I think, but so for Singapore preparation, I have to check. I think with the board, usually the board, the staff supporting the board, usually contact has. To ask what kind of topics we want to discuss with the board, maybe 3 or 4 topics. But this time I didn't receive any inquiry, so I will check directly. And I think also, so that's the main, also what kind of topic we want to discuss on the Constituency Day. So first we can meet with the expert working group, which other working group or, maybe SO or AC we want to discuss with on that day. We also have the joint meeting with ALAC in Thursday. And maybe it's not necessarily related to NCAG, but there is the public session for the cross-community working group on internet governance. In Monday, just I think after the opening, so it will be kind of really big session to consult the community about the deliverable from the cross community working group, and I think it's important for NCAG members to attend it. So I also created a page just to list who from NCAG are going to attend Singapore meeting. So please, if you cannot edit the wiki page, just tell me so I can put the information. So I will share it in the chat in the meantime, waiting for one sec. Also, just maybe, I think probably most of you know, but in the Friday before the ICANN meetings, we have the NCAC conference, so even those who cannot attend Singapore, they can follow remotely the conference, so I encourage everybody to attend. I saw that Stephanie, you want to discuss about the expert working group with the board?
Yes, I think if we don't register what we want to keep in there again and again and again, it'll drop off. Just being paranoid, but, you know.
Okay. We can do it. Okay. Oh, the other topic that was suggested is to talk about NOMCOM representative for NPOC. I think that it will be a quick discussion because it's clear request, so just we need a firm answer from the board. David, you want to comment?
No.
Okay, so you find the links. It's kind of tentative. Schedule for NCAG and Singapore meeting, so please check it. And if you want some topics for the constituency day, just send me, so after we can get the consensus of the membership. And also please fill the list of participants in the wiki if you cannot just tell me to. So, okay. I guess there is not so much to say about Singapore meeting. Also I think we just maybe in any other business, so maybe if I can, what I can add, it's about the cross-community working group on internet governance. We have members from NCAG there. It's really important to be active and to volunteer and participate in drafting, so to really influence the input, because the working group should submit by, I think, 7th of March, so it's quite a short time, but we can make... It can be a good opportunity to have to advocate for our position and perspective on internet governance. So, for those who are already there, please participate and be active. And then in Singapore, during the consultation, it's quite important to. To give your comment and feedback, so we can take that in account, and so we can really have our own input for Brazil meeting. I'm not sure if we as NCAG can have enough time to provide submit something for Brazil meeting. I think it's quite hard, so that's why we may need to focus on the cross community working group, and also maybe we have in Singapore in the meeting with ALAC, it's probably we are going to talk about that and try to maybe to have a statement for the public forum. Yes, David, go ahead.
Just going to say that the input for Brazil doesn't need to be very long, doesn't need to be very formal. I think we should do something. So.
Okay. If you want to volunteer.
Well, I'm going to try and write my own input for the board for the Brazil meeting because I'm planning to actually attend. But I think it would be great. But I'd be happy to coordinate some kind of drafting effort for that if we can get it together pretty quickly. But I mean, they're talking about 10,000 characters, so only 1,500 or so words. It doesn't need to be a huge thing, and just sort of clearly stating principles that we believe in would be helpful, even if it's not backed up with a lot of sort of, it doesn't need to be backed up with anything great deal of formal. Just the fact that we're NCSG, we're active participants, I think would be helpful. And if anyone is planning to get there, I think the expression of interest sort of calls you to at least have participated in some input to the meeting. So. If anyone is planning to go, we should all sort of write something and sign on to it at the least, if we're not planning to create do an individual submission.
So David, we have you as a volunteer. Thank you for that, to coordinate the effort. So you have, I guess, maybe 10 days. I think it's possible to make it. In fact, even I saw the United States government input. It was just 2 pages, so it was really quite high level.
I think something just clearly stating that we think accountability is important, we think transparency is important, we think bottom up process, all of those sort of things that are. We have participated in the bottom-up policy creation process, and we think it has value. That sort of thing would be, even something as simple as that would actually be quite helpful, I think, in the process. So, not that I'm really, I'm not on any of the big committees or anything. I'm just hoping to be an attendee, but it still sounds things like that sort of input would be valuable.
So please, just strawman, and then we can work on it and have feedback from the membership. Marilia, I'm sorry that I kept you waiting, so please go ahead.
Thank you, Rafiq. Just to let you know that in the last meeting of the executive committee, the issue of the number of characters has been raised. 10,000 characters is about 4 pages. Some people thought it was too short. So there have been some back and forth exchange of emails in the list of the executive committee, and the limit is going up to 20,000 characters. So it's about 8-9 pages. I think that it should be enough. The reason to limit the number of characters is that all the contributions are going to be summarized by the secretariat of the meeting, so they're going to put together everything that everybody says. And then the executive committee is going to go through the synthesis paper and produce an initial draft document to the conference. This is something that the chair of the conference, Mr. Virgilio Almeida, requested from us. They want to start with something. Of course, this something, if it's good, people can take into account and change as they wish. If it's not good, people can just throw it away and start something all over. But I think that Mr. Virgilio thought that it would be interesting to have something considering that we only have 2 days, and part of these 2 days are occupied by opening ceremony and closing ceremony and so on. So we will have about, me and Adam, we did a math, we would have about 15 hours work. So it is important to arrive at something, the chair thought. So this is the reason for the limitation of characters, but it's going up to 20,000. So it gives us a little bit more space. But of course, if we want to be concise, that's also a good option. Thank you.
Thanks, Maria. So can we also continue in the drafting for NCIG2 if you have some, I mean, if it's possible, so trying to get some. Okay, so we have some volunteers now. David, Marilia, unfortunately not Robin. It's really, yes. We have also the Cruise Community Working Group. It's a lot of things going on, but we try to find. So I think even, you know, even if just we can get individual input from our members, we can support such input and so on. So we don't need really to draft from scratch. We can compile several input from members. We can support other statements and so on. So, like, for example, the Article 19, they just shared a paper about ICANN reform. So something that maybe we can we should review carefully and see what if really we share what they are suggesting. Yes, David, please go ahead.
Oh no, I just forgot to take my hand down.
Okay. So I think we covered most of the topics. Unfortunately, not the ITRT report. We missed the first comment period, but we still have the reply period. I think the NCAGPC will handle that. Also, we have most of the the privacy, the proxy accreditation service working members are already left to attend at the conf call. So I guess it's time to wrap up this session. And if there is any comment or suggestion, please speak up now. Otherwise, I will adjourn this call for today. Okay, waiting. Hearing none. So I would like really to thank everybody for attending today's call. Sometimes look at messy because we we spent so much time on the privacy issue, but it's quite important topic for NCAG. And also we covered the internet governance issues and Brazil meeting and so on. So also we have some actions, like maybe possible drafting something for NCAG as input for present meeting, but also to follow up about expert working group comment, the proxy accreditation service questionnaire, and so on. So we have some work to do. I want to thank you for attending for more than 2 hours, and see you soon, hopefully in Singapore. Bye-bye.
Thanks,
bye.
Feed. Bye.
Thank you.
Hi, Judy. So please stop the recording, please.
Thank you. Will do. Operator, please stop the recording.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.